The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program. Today's show takes us back to January 2009.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush, and happy 2009 to you all. This is our first show in the new year in the new Obama-Rama era, so we are happy campers here on campus. So let me introduce the panel to you. To my right, from the Department of History, its chair, as well as the person who manages our Black Abolitionist Archives, and someone very happy about the election and the inauguration, it's Professor Roy Finkenbein.
Hey, Kathy, it's good to be here, and I promise to fulfill my role as panelist faithfully.
All right. Make sure you get that right. Well, I mean, what happened there? Was it both of them seemed to kind of jump the gun or
something? Obama, I think, had memorized it, and I think Roberts was, at least this is what they've said in the press, Roberts was trying to wing it from memory, and he moved faithfully and possibly other words around,
yeah,
and it threw Obama off, so he just stopped.
Yeah, I know. I'd like to comment that a CBC commentator said this will be probably the one and only time that Barack Obama appears unsure of himself on camera. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, good comment. All right. At the far end of the table, from the College of Engineering and Science in the Department of Math and Math Education, is Professor Jeff Boats.
What up, dog?
Not knob dog.
I was there at the we actually had a job candidate interviewing on Tuesday.
Oh.
And, we had planned to take him out to lunch, and we actually rescheduled the entire interview process so that we could all go over to the loft
yay.
And watch.
Oh, you watched it in the loft. We watched it in the building with the students. Dr. Dix, our executive producer, who is just such a thoughtful person, made sure that David Crawford, who's with our staff here in Communication Studies, had TVs out in the hallways so people could watch. It was a wonderful moment to sit with students and faculty and a family that came in for a campus visit, and they couldn't believe that a college would stop its day to watch something like this.
No,
they were very impressed.
Stopped.
I was like, hello, where do you think we'd be? You know, so which was kind of unusual.
The loft was full, and Dean Hanifin came and sat in front of me, and when the positive things were said about, you know, science, he was applauding.
Oh, I bet. Hey, well, there was a lot to applaud there.
I was one of the three people in the room who clapped when they talked about science.
Well, don't worry, it even got a round of applause over here in the Arts College. So, and finally, from the College of Engineering and Science for its pre-college engineering programs, it's Dan, the Dapsat Man Mascio.
Hi, Kathy.
Hey, glad to have
Happy
you
New
with
Year.
Us. Happy New Year to
mm-hmm.
you. So did you watch the inauguration?
I did. I tried to watch it online, but
that's so confusing.
No,
yeah.
I couldn't get anything to come through.
And we're going to be joined by Professor Eric Barnes from Criminal Justice and Intelligence Analysis, but he's busy helping a student register late. So that's what I was signing off on the schedule. So once he gets that paperwork done, you'll get to hear his lovely dulcet tone. So this is the program where you send in questions, and if you stump the panel, you can win one of two fabulous T-shirts. And if you don't stump the panel, you still get a T-shirt. So, hey, come on. It's believe it or not, winter will end eventually. It may not seem like that now, folks, here in Michigan, where we've descended into the seventh circle of hellish cold. But nevertheless, those T-shirts are going to come in handy at some point.
The piles on each side of my driveway are now up to my shoulders.
And here's Professor Barnes joining us now. Yes, so how can you get one of those T-shirts? Well, you can send them care of our website, which is www.udmercy.edu/ATP for Ask the Professor. Or you can even send them care of the U.S. Postal Service to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols in Detroit, and that postal code is 48221. And hi, Eric.
Hello.
And
good
as
to be
we
back.
Say, happy Obama Rama week. And what are you wearing on your lapel? That
oh, that's,
looks
that's
like
my police pin.
Oh, is it the dancing deer of Michigan? Oh,
yeah, exactly. That's
I
exactly
love it.
The dancing deer, and it says Swaybor.
All right. Very, very sharp.
Oh, dancing deer.
Oh, that's what we always said on the state shield. They were the disco deer. They always looked like they were having
yeah,
a really
I'm
good
sure
time on that state shield.
That.
Sure, why not? Well, our first set of questions are actually to commemorate the inaugural, and since Roy put them together, it's only fair to let Roy read them. So we're going to switch mics here.
Okay, we're
you can read them from there.
Okay.
Okay,
fine.
So go for it.
Well, these are 20 questions, and I'm a hard-nosed teacher, so I made 16 a passing grade.
Oh!
Ooh. Ooh.
But I think, you know, with I'll summon my best effort to give Kathy in clues.
Okay.
We're going to give you a really bad review. It's a good thing you're already a
right,
full professor.
What's our evaluation?
Yeah, I'm going to ratemyprofessor.com.
No chili peppers for you, man.
For those of us who've actually gone on ratemyprofessor.com and checked themselves out,
really?
As well as some of their colleagues,
uh-oh.
It's quite interesting to see who. Now, I didn't expect anybody classifying me as hot.
You got a chili pepper.
Vicky Benzopoulos got
did you?
Three
no,
chili
no,
peppers.
No, no, no. Wow. But I'm surprised by some of the people that did.
Yeah, it's
wow.
pretty scary, eh?
Yeah.
But Vicky deserves her three chili peppers.
Well, let's start back at the beginning. George Washington was inaugurated as the nation's first president in 1789 in what city?
Philadelphia.
Mm-mm.
New York City?
Right,
New York,
right, right, right. Yeah, it was New York, and then the capital moved to Philadelphia and then to D.C.,
Cardinal
to the
Sid.
Bog. That was somebody.
Wasn't that a compromise issue?
There was a compromise
yeah,
between North
thought.
And South. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So yeah. Washington.
They went to the most godforsaken place they could.
Hottest
at that
place
point.
In the summer. It's
yes.
so humid.
Swamp
there.
Infest, malaria infested.
Die.
Wow.
And,
yeah.
And in fact, the first presidential inauguration in Washington D.C. took place in what year?
D.C.
In D.C.
Sheesh.
1801.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Pretty good.
Dan, you the
good
man.
See, Dan was just contacted by his...
two history questions in a row.
Wow.
Can you stand
his
it?
Lifeline just connected.
All right.
If you get five in a row, I think you get an honorary tweed jacket.
Yeah, there you go.
Dan's going to be in a Snoop Dogg billionaire next.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Well, this has to do... This is more of a location question. Presidents were traditionally sworn in the east portico of the Capitol... until this president moved it to its current location on the Capitol's west steps, symbolizing
that.
His own connection to the American West.
West Wing? Teddy Roosevelt?
The Capitol's west steps.
Oh, I thought you were referring to the West Wing. Oh.
Just think old.
I don't know.
Old. Reagan.
Reagan,
yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was trying to do that mm-hmm. west connection.
Mm-hmm. Is he the only Californian president?
Yeah, I think mm-hmm. so.
Well, yes and no. Nixon.
Well, yeah, that's mm-hmm. true. Yeah.
Okay.
And there are others that, you know, kind of made that connection later, I think. Well, you know, they didn't want to return to, just like the Clintons didn't want to return to Arkansas.
Right.
You know? Oh, come on, Fayetteville, what's the matter with that?
I'm guessing that if we ever have a president from Idaho, they probably won't return there.
Boise?
We've changed the date when we've inaugurated a president. Presidents were inaugurated on what date until 1937 when the official inauguration date was changed to January 20th?
Was it the 1st or the 9th?
It's a later month, actually,
oh, wow.
than January.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, I don't know.
Let's well, see. Kathy's able to guess.
I saw these.
In all fairness.
Of, yeah, so I just can't, but I'm just saying it was a later date. Than
is the month significant for any other reason? I mean,
think spring
political
break.
Reason? Oh, March. Okay, now we got March, but
yeah, wait till
be
March.
The Ides of March.
I'll guess March 21st.
Way too late.
Way too late?
15th?
Still too late.
Mm-hmm. 6.
1st.
Between the 1st
we're
going
to be guessing on day
3rd.
The
2nd.
A little more.
4th.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yay.
Absolutely.
Why that day?
Yeah, why the 4th?
Because it's 4 months after Election Day or something like that?
Well, I don't know the exact reason. Obviously, they wanted a long interregnum because travel was
yeah,
much
I mean,
more
imagine
difficult.
Going,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
you know. Taking
but
that stage
just an
coat.
Arbitrary date that they
yeah.
selected.
I mean,
yeah.
you get home, you kiss your wife, and can say, okay, it's going to take me 20-some days to get back to the Capitol.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the reason they changed it is because just as we've been waiting, some of us at least, for, you know, for the inauguration of a new president, FDR came in 1933 at the height of the Depression.
Oh, my
right.
God, that
and
awful.
People had to wait for March for him to take over. And at that point, Congress stepped in and said, let's shorten this up a little bit.
Yeah, like enough
right.
is enough. Mm-hmm. Poor people.
Which president initiated the tradition of taking the oath of office on a Bible?
On a Bible, yeah.
That's got to be early.
It's early. It's early no. before that.
I said at least Lincoln.
It's not Lincoln.
Yeah. It's not Lincoln.
Yeah, earlier than him, then.
Yeah.
Van Buren.
I don't know. Washington.
Keep going back. George Washington.
Yeah.
Started.
Washington.
And obviously, when Washington set the example, mm-hmm. people
come
followed.
Come on, really?
There actually is one president who did not swear on a Bible for religious reasons. His particular denomination prevented him from taking religious oaths. And so he simply affirmed.
Affirmation.
Oh, I heard that.
Franklin Pierce.
Yeah.
You have that option in court.
Mm-hmm. Do you really?
Yes, if you do. If you're going to testify in court and your religion prohibits you from swearing on the Bible or you believe in some other deity, you can take what's called an affirmation.
Oh, that's cool.
So you have that legal option.
That's really American. Excellent.
And that's been in, goes back common law, I believe.
You can now, I know political office holders can do this, just as Keith Ellison did, but I assume you have the option if you are of another religion, for instance, Islamic, of going and swearing on the Quran or something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was sworn in with Thomas Jefferson's Quran.
I know, which I thought that was so great.
You know, he's from here.
Yes, he is originally from Michigan.
He went to UD High.
Yes.
Who?
Keith Ellison. First Muslim member
Congress
of Congress.
Person.
Oh, he's a Muslim convert, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Soon to be the home of... Senator Al Franken.
Yeah, there you go.
Although I did see
soon to be institutionalized Senator Coleman.
Yeah.
I did see a clip of Al Franken circa 1980 appearing in solid gold that they showed the
He wasn't
white
he was
spandex.
Oh yeah.
Pants,
was he dancing?
Pretending to be Mick Jagger.
It gave me
pause as to him entering the Senate, but that's
anything goes in Minnesota.
I'm me.
I'm surprised he didn't dig that up and put it in a commercial.
Yeah.
They dug up enough root that they.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah. My friends live up there.
Make the comments that they made about his wife as a recovering alcoholic. That goes beyond the pale.
Well, I want to see a debate between Al Franken and Jesse the Body Ventura. I don't care what they talk about.
As long as it's not a
Schwarzenegger, too. There you go.
As long as it's not a wrestling match. Which president was the first to give an inaugural address?
Are you talking just locally, or are you talking covered over radio? To the nation?
Just giving an address to the crowd that's there.
Washington.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, why wouldn't you say anything?
Yeah. Well, again, it's
but think about
tradition.
Here you are. You're the first president being inaugurated, so you know everything you're going to do is going to be watched, copied, or whatever.
Right.
What tremendous dignity that man must have had, you know?
Yeah.
Thank you. I just flew in from Valley Forge and my arms are tired.
Wow.
Take my teeth, please.
Could have been king. If he'd have wanted to be, could have been king.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very popular. Which president died of pneumonia a month after giving a 90-minute inaugural address without a coat or hat in a driving ice storm?
Oh, classic. Yeah. That's a classic.
Yeah.
It's just,
Harrison, right?
Yeah. Harrison. William Henry Harrison.
That's the one I knew. Yeah. I had to check.
Yeah.
I think we all
knew that. Which president took the oath of office at both the warmest and the coldest January inaugurations?
So that's the two-term president. So.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. And I get the question. So it's the same man.
Same man, different inaugurations.
No, I thought there was going to be two different answers.
Designed to confuse.
Clinton.
Actually not.
No. Let's see. When was... We had a warm January recently.
Think prune face.
Reagan?
Reagan? Yeah.
And that's a quote from
I was going to say,
Mayor Coleman
Nancy.
Young. Wasn't it Coleman Young?
Yeah,
they
called him old prune face.
I thought, okay, there goes our federal funding.
Coleman was something else,
In fact, Reagan's second inauguration in 1985 was so cold that they didn't hold the inaugural parade.
Yeah.
They had the bands and other performers perform in place in an inside arena because
the
chance of frostbite was very, very high.
Coleman at that time was still bitter from a program called COINTELPRO.
Mm.
You hear that, Roy?
Where
COINTELPRO in the 60s, where they were spying on any type of social activists, and they were wiretapping, tapping their phones.
So what do they call it now?
They call it TIA now.
Yeah,
Total Information Analysis is what they called it.
Oh.
Yeah.
that's neither
under DARPA.
Coleman Young was called before the House Un-American Activities Committee as well because he had been a labor organizer with the CIO.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So,
that fellow
traveler.
And so
when we think about investigations, let's take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback. 1988. The University of Detroit presents Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Edmund DeWint, and today we have three of our regulars with us. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here, as always. On his right, from the Department of History, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Colder. Hi.
Hello, yes, that's right. And on Sarah's right, from the Department of Performing Arts and Theater, Professor Arthur Beer.
How'd you do, Edwin?
See, who is he today?
I just read a lovely article about Australia.
All right. The questions for today, all of which are Bert Tilly questions, have been culled from something like 340,000 of them that he has sent in over the last 6 months. For what cartoon did Donald Duck win his first Oscar? 1942 was the year.
The Donald Duck movies had names?
Yes.
Mm. Yes. I'd forgotten that. Mm. Of course, they had to, didn't they?
Yes.
That old canard?
No.
The Farmer Takes a Wife.
No, it had to do with the war.
Oh, yeah. They sell it now in the video stores, and you see him wearing his little helmet.
That's right.
Okay,
and there was a
song. It's called Donald Duck Uncovered.
No,
it's called
Duck Uncovered.
Of course.
It's called The Ducks of War.
The Ducks of War.
And we're back with questions about the inauguration. And we're going to turn it over to Roy, who put these together. So hit it.
So far, I think we're 8-0, which is like inverse Lions.
Wow.
Whose inauguration was the first to be photographed?
Who was right before Lincoln? That's my guess. No, I'm asking. I'm allowed to ask fellow panelists.
Your time frame is right.
Yeah, your time frame is
who's right before Lincoln?
Well, there were a couple people before
Lincoln.
Right. Okay, let's see.
That's
how
my
to
guess.
Give a, how to give a clue. Okay.
You don't have to give clues. You're one of us now.
Oh, okay. Well, it was Buchanan.
Buchanan.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, there you go.
No, no, no. Who also was known for one other thing.
Yeah, there's something else that is very important about him.
Yeah.
Very unique. Let's see.
Did it have to do with his physical?
It has to do with his wife, the first lady?
Well, it has to do with the first lady, absolutely.
Yeah, it has to do with the first lady. I'm trying to remember.
she had 11 coats.
Did she die?
No, she was the first one to be on stage with him, right?
Mm-mm.
She didn't exist.
He didn't have a first lady.
He was
a bachelor.
Oh.
A bachelor. Niece.
Angelica Singleton.
Oh, that's who it was.
That was his hostess.
Oh, that was on there, okay.
Which president was inaugurated twice, but to non-consecutive terms?
Grover Cleveland.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the first president to ride to his inauguration in an automobile?
Okay. Let's do this mathematically.
That's right.
Yeah. It was in the early 1900s. You know the P?
No.
Okay, then that's something.
P for president.
Yeah, P for president, I was
going to
say, yeah.
I'm going to guess
F. Well, unfortunately, it was a little later.
Okay. Oh, that poor soul.
It's cool, it's too
Roosevelt.
Late.
Coolidge thinking, would be a hair
too late.
Roosevelt,
yeah,
but.
Just a little bit too late. Okay, so think about, let's see. Think about someone who they said, this man looks like a president, came from Ohio.
I just watched this last night on the History
okay.
Channel.
And was accused of fathering an illegitimate child in the White House.
Clinton?
No, I'm they accused him of everything else except that. He's the one that didn't get him on.
I don't know.
Hold on.
There's an elementary school on the west side.
What'd you say, Kathy?
Elementary school on the west side around, let's see, Schoolcraft and Lodger over that way, named after him. And he died. Some people are really suspicious of how
he died. Yeah. Oh, man.
He also, Jay Rogers and some other black writers in the mid-20th century put forward the idea that he was African-American.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, you're a century off.
That's,
yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
It's Warren Harding.
Harding.
Yeah. We don't get that one.
Harding Elementary.
We lost it. Harding, yeah.
The Smith homes.
Yeah, right, yeah. Absolutely, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was wild over there.
Those kids were on the zip-zap-wap there. Whoa.
Which president took the oath of office aboard Air Force One?
Oh, Lyndon.
Lyndon B. Johnson.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great photograph.
Which president took the oath of office in Buffalo, New York?
The one after McKinley.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
No. Do I get half?
Yeah. Just think bully. Bully, bully.
Bully, bully.
Delighted.
Bully pulpit. Volmoose.
Volmoose.
I don't know. No.
That's supposed to mean something?
This,
in fact, there's a bear named after him.
I think there is a bear named after him.
Smoker.
And the bandit.
Yeah. Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt. Come on, guys.
Sorry. I gotta read some more books.
Well, that's a good thing to say.
Dan, you're
kind of
like,
get the timeline in my head.
You do. You're doing great with the timeline. Mathematically, you're doing it.
Except for George W. Bush, who was the last president to take the oath of office after losing the popular vote.
Oh, well, after Nixon? Losing the popular vote.
No. Not Nixon? Did he lose the popular vote?
No. Oh.
No.
No, hold on.
I think we were listening to the same programs you got these questions from, because all of these sound like I've heard them in the last couple of weeks.
A lot of these I pulled from
a show offline, or on some of my simple online news. Somewhere.
Hold on. Let's see.
Think Lemonade Lucy.
Well, actually, no.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, you're right.
Lemonade?
No.
Same name as another president.
Yes, that's right.
But we've already mentioned.
Roosevelt.
First
Franklin?
Bush?
Roosevelt?
No.
Wasn't the first Bush?
Same last name.
Yeah, same last name.
Same last name.
I got it.
He was a Hoosier.
Yes.
Yeah, Indiana.
I give.
Not just, Greg Sumner.
No.
That's right. Hold on. We should be able to figure this out.
No.
He was related to that guy that had the top coat problem.
Problem, yeah. The guy who didn't wear the top coat and got sick.
He's related to Harrison?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is different Harrison.
Which uncle makes great rice?
Yeah.
Ben Harrison? Well,
Benjamin Harrison.
There we
Benjamin
go.
Harrison.
There we go.
Okay.
All right. That's
so we were heading into a Pistons losing streak then.
Yeah.
No,
absolutely.
Not
we deserve
that.
To take out.
Which president promised in his inaugural address that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, in order to assure the survival and success of liberty? Actually, one
that
of
sounds kind of like that.
Probably one of the more famous quotes from an inaugural address.
Yeah.
It's one of the early ones, isn't it?
Thank you.
I'm going to go with Washington.
No, much later. Much later.
20th century?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy Roosevelt?
In I think, all of our lifetimes, or close.
Pretty close.
Jeff's younger than me, aren't you?
Okay, yeah, well, then.
He's younger than me.
Just almost
World
War II.
Almost our lifetime.
Post-World War II.
Yeah. But served in World War II.
Oh, okay.
Eisenhower?
On a PT boat.
Kennedy.
Kennedy.
Yep.
Kennedy. JFK, yeah. Who was the only president to be inaugurated four times?
Four times.
Uh-huh. Oh, there's only been one.
Because they changed the rules after that.
No,
wrong
Washington.
Wrong Roosevelt.
Franklin
Roosevelt.
He got it.
Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
FDR. Mm-hmm.
His last inauguration, that's kind of sad, that story. He didn't have a lot of energy. He was really sick by that time, but he used the kind of the excuse of it being wartime and that most of the soldiers were overseas. So his last inauguration was held at the White House. And he spoke very briefly, but pictures of it, it's so frightening. I mean, they've shown pictures of presidents, how they age, but that poor man, by the end, he just looked so worn. And don't you think? I mean, he just truly did. What a terrible burden to carry.
Yeah. Well, if you've seen the pictures of Lincoln when he looks like a very young man at 60, and then 1865, he looks like...
Oh, my God.
Of course, part of that may have been, they theorize about Marfan syndrome and other things.
Yeah, true enough. But, I mean, he just also looked like worn
and drawn. The burden.
The burden of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, think of the
some easy ways ahead
that
wears
office,
the crown.
You know? I mean, it's not like you get to hang anymore.
Look, and then he had to live with Mary.
But he was outside, and he was a robust...
Yeah,
he was. A guy that had worked hard, and, I mean, he had that. I think that sense of isolationism. The rest of us, when we feel, like, overburdened, we can unleash it on our friends or go hang out or do whatever. What happens? Their lives just must so shrink into itself.
In those days, Lincoln, and lots of presidents, Polk and others, but they had kind of an open-door policy, and the public would just stream through and, harangue him
like
all day long.
Especially, give me a job. Give me a job. That poor man just harassed.
Get my son out of the army.
Yeah, every end.
Which president was administered the oath of office by his father, a notary public?
Yeah, that was in Vermont.
Think silent.
That was Pierce.
No, 20th century.
20th century. Not a big talker.
I just heard that story too.
Yeah. Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan liked him,
but it didn't count because the law only applied to. Within the state. It was not national.
Well, there was a question, so they redid it later. But just like Obama redid his yesterday.
Yeah,
he had to somebody replace a president who had just died.
Yes.
In fact, a president who just died that we've talked about.
Harrison.
No. Another Hage.
Not McKinley. We already covered him. Harding.
Yeah. That was...
Replaced Harding.
Yeah.
You're on a roll here, Dan. You got to keep going.
No, you had the goal line. Just go ahead and take it through.
He came to national attention because he was Boston police commissioner.
Yes, sadly, he busted on the Boston cops. He fired those cops that went out on strike, and that he talked about the public duty of public servants not to ever go on strike.
Yeah,
you're gonna have
very pro business. The man who builds a factory builds a temple. The man who works therein worships therein.
It's oh, like Lord. Scary. His wife
Coolidge.
Is,
yeah,
Coolidge.
Silent Cal.
Dwight D. Eisenhower's 1953 inaugural was the longest. How long did it last?
Inaugural address?
The speech.
The inaugural
the speech. Yeah. The ceremony or the speech?
The ceremony.
90 minutes.
No. You're shy.
Why?
You're shy.
Yeah,
what?
Is the ceremony?
4 hours.
Turn it's
got to be three and a half.
A little bit more.
Oh, four and a
Five
quarter?
5 hours.
Four and a half.
Four and a half hours?
Yes.
For the speeches and all that?
The whole ceremony.
The whole ceremony.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord have mercy. Those people must
be what are you counting as the ceremony? Like
everyone on stage, everything on
everything
stage.
Everything on stage.
Oh, Obama's was only about 30 minutes.
Well, Obama's was more like an hour probably. By the time you got through Aretha and you got through invocation and benediction, and
that was one fine hat she had on.
Made here in Detroit.
Somebody on radios claimed that she had just gotten a bedazzle.
No, I'm not making fun of it, but she clearly makes a statement in every possible way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, whoa, that hat.
And she's got pipes.
And you know the other interesting thing? She sang at the March on Washington before MLK's I Have a Dream speech.
Yeah.
Really.
She
really connects that.
On Monday, they actually showed that speech in its entirety on CNN. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they did.
And, of course, he tried out the I Have a Dream part
here
in Detroit.
Detroit. Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Her dad was the Reverend C.L. Franklin.
Yes, he was. Yeah, her dad, famous reverend.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Whose inauguration was the first to be broadcast on the Internet?
Well,
after
I've already done it. For everybody.
Well,
I got intellectual property.
It was probably Clinton.
Clinton, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
He figured that out mathematically.
No, that would have been 97.
Yeah, I would just surprise
No,
90.
That was 97. Inaugural.
Okay.
That was the second inaugural. We've got one more.
Well, okay, but we're going to have to save that till next week. So let me thank the panel. Let's see. Well, panelist and part-time moderator today. Professor Fingerbein?
Well, it's been interesting, Kathy.
It surely has. Professor Boat?
I sing the body politic.
Excellent. Professor Barnes?
Fired up and ready to go.
Let's go. All right. Professor Maggio?
Amen.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, ask the professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Communication Studies Radio Department here at the University of Detroit Mercy McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced, technically directed, witnessed, and saved week after week by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is the very thoughtful Dr. Vivian Dix. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Go Obama, go Biden.
And we're back next week with more brand new shows for 2014. So please plan to join us.